Couple things we need to do. Let's just praise the Lord for Holly May. And in our same prayer, I think Nathan and Holly is going to be getting married next Saturday, so let's remember them in our prayer. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so grateful for your blessings. Thank you for Holly May coming into the world healthy. Thank you for such a beautiful little girl. Thank you for Danielle's health. Thank you for this wonderful family that's been such a blessing here at this church. Lord, I pray that you keep your hand upon them. And also for Nathan and Chloe next week that's going to get married. May you bless their marriage. May you bind them together. And Father, help them to get closer to each other as they get closer to you. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. There's been a lot of talk today about we're into a brand new year, and we are. We're in a brand new year. And I don't know about your 2018. Of course, most of us have had some really high highs and really, really low lows during 2018. But anytime we have a new year, we have an opportunity for a fresh start.
Church. But they forgot what it was all about. And Jesus himself said, I've got a message, I've got something against you. You've lost your first love. And you know, I think a lot of people can be guilty of doing that because we get so into the routine and traditions and things like that, that we forget why we're doing what we're doing. So if you looked at the title to this message, You can see that we're going to go there today. What would it be like if we just chose to dump everything we knew about the church? Dumped it. It is church history that gets Christians in trouble today. Dump everything. Go back to the beginning and start again. Think about it. Recently, I heard of a preacher who did just that. He was pastoring a large church in California, thousands of members, and everything was just going really, 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 really wonderfully. The church was growing. They were sending out missionaries. They were doing wonderful things. And then all of a sudden, the pastor and his wife just disappeared. No, the rapture didn't take place. We're still here. But I remember reading, this guy just walked off away from the church. Nobody knew. And then when he reemerged, his approach to ministry was absolutely, totally different. Completely different. No longer was he interested in churchianity. He wasn't interested in church traditions or dogma or whatever. That was not his focus at all. He gave up everything about his faith except his Bible. He went back to the Bible. He said, okay, God, you tell me what to believe, what to do, and how to do it from your word without any interference. What a fresh approach. There's not any smiles yet, but I've had a little while to process this, probably a couple of months now. You see, this guy actually went back to the fountainhead of Christianity. And he began drinking the fresh water of unpolluted biblical truth. What a novel approach. How would you like to do that? No, still not a lot of people on board with me on that. What would it be like if we dared to do the same? I was talking to Shirley about this today. You know, we may, if we did that, could go through the whole thing and arrive at the same place where we started. I doubt it. But if you did that, what would happen? How would things change? Well, some might say, well, we just can't do that. My immediate response would be, why not? It's never been done. That's a good reason it needs to be done. Okay? Don't ever use that when we've never done it that way before. Because I'm going to say, well, it's about time we did. All right? You see, why can't we do that? We have God's word, don't we? How many believe this is God's word? You can trust it. I mean, it's God's inspired word of God to us, right? We still have it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And we got good heads on our shoulders. Well, we have good heads on our shoulders. But most of all, we have the Holy Spirit, whose job it is to point us to Jesus, to open our minds and our hearts to where we can see what's in the Word of God. So we've got those three things. So what are we worried about? Well, I might have to change something. That's the point. You probably will. So what? Why couldn't we turn the beginning of a new year into a fresh approach to what we believe? If we did, what would we discover about Christianity and ourselves? Well, somebody might ask the question, why should we make this effort to do that? Let me explain. There's a lot of churches in the world. I'm not saying ours is that way. I mean, but there's a lot of churches in the world today that are so organized and so set in stone in what they do, if God didn't show up, they wouldn't even know it. They would just keep right on doing what they did, and nothing would change, and God was standing back and said, hey, I left you 2 years ago. You didn't know it. That's a sad commentary. What I would like for our church to do is be so dependent upon God that if He chooses to stand back, everything falls apart. In other words, if He chooses to step back, we have no plan B. You guys are thinking about that, aren't you? Is it wrong to be that dependent upon God? Is it scary to be that dependent on God? Yes. We need to be dependent on God working and depending on God working through His Word. Well, where do we start if we started all again? Anybody have any clues? What's that? Yeah, we'll just go back to the Word, and hopefully you have a Bible, and hopefully you have plenty of them. Hopefully you have them on your digital devices and things like that. And if we started, all right, let's move to the New Testament, because that's how we find out about the church anyway. If we went back and began reading in the New Testament, what do you think we would find immediately as we begin to read through the New Testament? We're going to find out about somebody. What's his name? Jesus. Well, what's wrong with that? To refocus on Jesus. You see how exciting this can be? We can cut through the distractions. We can cut through the fluff, the useless, the non-important, and we can get back to the very beginning of what Christianity is. Hey, a simple definition of Christian is a follower of Jesus. Not what it has become in our world today, but a Christian is a follower of Jesus. Well, how can we know what Jesus taught, what he said, how he acted, how he interacted with people? How can we know that? Through the Gospels of Jesus Christ. We have four biographies, you know. A couple of them are eyewitness, some of them are from really good historians. Dr. Luke was a doctor, probably the most educated of all the disciples, and he was a very precise historian. He did a lot of interviews, and he came up with probably the most complete version of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Of course, a lot of people say the first one is Mark. But we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we've been saying that since we were kids. How many has ever read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Ready for some homework? For the next 25 days to the end of January, I would like for you to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I've got a head start on you, okay? How many will do that? And if you get all the way through it, guess what? Go back and read it again. What's that? Different version. You know, I generally use two or three different versions, and it's interesting to see that. But I would challenge you to go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because the only way that you're going to get to the fountainhead, the very beginning of all we know as Christianity, is to go back to the Gospels and read them. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is all anyone has had for the last 2,000 years that is an accurate representation of who Jesus was. Nobody else has had any more. So we can do the same thing that the early church fathers did. Now, we're going to ignore Paul or Peter or John or James. No, we're going to interact with their writings, but these guys are a lot closer to, I'm going to use Fountainhead again, than what we are. Far fewer distractions when they were writing and talking. So we'll interact with their writings, and most of what they say is just rehashing or summarizing the life of Jesus Christ. So let's go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm going to get this out of the way before I end up on my nose. And you don't want to see that. That wouldn't be pretty. So let's go back and read that. Well, what an opportunity to do that. We have the potential of rediscovering everything that Jesus said and did and believed. Now, did you catch that word, potential? What is potential? It's opportunity that's waiting to be engaged. So we have the potential of rediscovering, and there's only one person that can cause you to engage with that opportunity, and it's you. So go back and begin reading the Gospels. Well, for the rest of our talk, I want us to talk about what we're going to discover in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I've already said we're going to find out about one person, and his name is Jesus Christ. We'll spend the rest of our time today talking about that. The Apostle Paul, which I said is a lot closer to Jesus than what we are, far fewer distractions, far fewer perversions or misdirections. The Apostle Paul said this of Jesus in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. Speaking of Jesus, this is what he says. He is the image of the invisible God. What does that tell you about Jesus? He says, if we see Jesus, we see God. So could it be that we're actually looking at God in flesh when we rediscover Jesus? Don't you think we ought to do that? He says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth. Well, I'm going to keep reading, then we'll go back and talk about it. By him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might have the preeminence. Try to get your head around what Paul said. We'll break it down. First, by Jesus, all things were created. This is the one we're going to be reading about. By Jesus, all things were created. Now, I know you can start running theologically, but don't do that. Just accept what he says. Secondly, for Jesus, all things were created. Now, that's big. Absolutely everything that was created for him, including you and me. Wow! Thirdly, Jesus was before all things. Theologically, we know that he was co-eternal with the Father. And here's a big one. Because of Jesus, all things are held together. You see how deep that is? All things, every living thing, all things, doesn't matter what it is, all things are held together by him. Wow. Jesus is the head and founder of the church. That's how we can get a fresh start to the church, is by looking at him. Next, and because of these things just listed, Jesus should be placed front and center of all things in the church. He must have preeminence. Folks, there's people who have spent their lives sitting on a church pew who have no clue how important Jesus Christ is. They want to hear what the priest says, what the preacher says, what this theologian says, what church tradition says. They want all these things, but they don't have a clue about who Jesus is and what he taught. And you know what? They don't know the church. They know churchianity, but they don't know Christianity. Folks, we have the opportunity to shoot far beyond that just by rediscovering Jesus. And we can do that. But there's an equally important reason that you and I need to know about the life and teachings of Jesus. Now listen to this quote. If you have a handout, you'll have it there. The will of God for the people of God is that they are just like his son, Jesus. The will of God for the people of God is that they are just like his son, Jesus. So I know there's a lot of discussion about the will of God. Anybody ever had a discussion like that? What's the will of God? We see, there is one thing that we know for certain. The all-consuming, overriding will of God, the Heavenly Father, is that you and I will be like his son. Nothing else even comes close to that in the will of God. And we can do that. We can only do that if we'll learn about him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let's take a few moments and scrutinize this idea. Is it really God's will for us to know Jesus? Well, God, in his word, through his writers, have given us some insight into what his will is. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. Go with me there. Oh, and I'm going to connect this one to one of our favorite verses, one of those verses that you can quote right now, if given the opportunity, and then we'll look at our main verse. So Romans 8, 28, somebody quote it for me. For we know that all things work together for them who love the Lord and who are called according to the purpose. That one just rolls off our tongues. We know that one. But listen to the next verse. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many things. Now, what that means is that before all things, God foreknew you. And he knew that you were going to be a child of God. And at that point, he predestined you and me to be like Jesus. In other words, that was before anything else was thought of. You and I, as children of God, were predetermined by God to conform to the image of his son. What does the word conform mean? Well, you see, conforming is adjusting to a standard. All right, for the Christian, what's the standard? Jesus. So we're predestined to be conformed to his image. And you know what? For those who love God and who are called according to his purpose, God will work things out for his good. What are we called to do? To be conformed to the image of his son. I've been waiting for years to find the answer to that one. Called to do what? Be like Jesus. You know what? That's probably the key note right there. We can go home right now, but no, hang on. We're supposed to be like him. Hands down, that is the will of God for your life and for mine. Another verse, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from the glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. When we look at Jesus, it's almost like we're looking at a mirror and we're adjusting ourselves, and we know we're supposed to adjust ourselves to look like him. And you know who's doing that? Paul just told us, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is conforming us. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. You see, there's a lot of, let me tell you something that shows you how we can get so distracted. There's a lot of discussion in today's Christianity about the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Whole denominations and movements are built around the Holy Spirit. But Jesus himself tells us the purpose of the Holy Spirit. One verse. You ready? John 14, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. The Holy Spirit, his job is to point us to Jesus. The Bible's clear that the Apostle Paul said the Holy Spirit will not ever speak of himself, but he will point us to Jesus. Boy, that'll clear up a lot of theology, won't it? So the Holy Spirit will transform us into the image of Jesus by reminding us of the things that he said and taught. But there's one more verse I want us to look at. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2. Now, this one is something we can get excited about. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2. Beloved, now we are children of God. Stop. Aren't you glad you're a child of God? Okay. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Can I just give you Tony's translation of that? You see, we as Christians, we're followers of Jesus, and we're being conformed to His image, but you see, you and I are limited. Anybody believe you're limited? You see, we're limited by our own sin, you know? Sin gets in the way sometimes. Don't tell me you have no sin. I'll pull the scripture out on you, okay? It says you're a liar. The goal of ours is to be like Jesus. You see, we are redeemed, yes. We are going to heaven, yes. But we are damaged by the fall. We are limited. We're not able to reach that ultimate goal of looking like Jesus, though we are required as a Christian to try to be like Him the best we can. But the Apostle Paul says that one day, when He appears, we'll be just like Him. It's not going to take a lot of work to get there. Matter of fact, it's going to be, you'll be like Jesus. You haven't got that yet, have you? How many's looking forward to seeing Jesus? I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus and being like Him. There's an old song, goodbye world, goodbye. Get out of here. We're gone to see Jesus. Well, what will that be like? Well, the Apostle Paul gives us some insight into that day. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 58. Just follow with me. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit corruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, or we shall not all die. But we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. There we become like Jesus. Glorified body and all. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. And then, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? Now listen closely. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we may not have total victory in this life, but when we see Jesus, it's done. It's done. But because we know that, listen to this last verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. So, folks, we have concluded today that if you want to start afresh as a Christian, if you want to dump 2,000 years of church history and tradition, we can do that. But the only way you're going to find out what true Christianity is to begin to read about Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can do that. And once we begin seeing that, then the Holy Spirit will start transforming us into the image of Jesus Christ, and we'll become more and more like Jesus. I, for one, want to do that. Anybody ever seen a theology book? I've got some theology books, and they're about that thick. 1,000-something pages. And most of it difficult to understand. That's church tradition. You want to get before that? Go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And begin reading afresh. And I want us to do that. Once we get into February, we're going to begin looking at what did we learn as we went through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What did Jesus do? Did he do that maybe we need to start doing? You see my thought processes? How many is willing to get on that journey with me? Okay. Start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And here's a key. I just read this morning. New York Yankees star Yogi Berra, he was an outfielder. He liked to make these, what's that? Catcher, sorry. He knows his baseball better than me. Actually, what I was reading said he was an outfielder. So, okay. I stand corrected. He said, when you observe, you'll see. Well, doesn't sound very big. How many's ever looked at something you didn't really see it? You see, when we go through the Bible, we pick out the things we want to focus on, but we miss the rest of it that we're, you know, either uncomfortable or we haven't been doing. Don't do that as you go through the Bible. Let the Bible tell you what to see and to believe and to understand. So when you observe Jesus, see what he's doing. He might have a message for you. And let's get back to the beginning. Please stand. Father, we ask as we start this new year that you would challenge us to just return to the very fountain of Christianity. Lord, there are so many distractions, and it would be so easy for us just to fall right back into an old way of doing things, knowing that it's really not true Christianity. So, Father, I ask that you will guide us, you will give us the wisdom, and through the Holy Spirit, you will illuminate your word and help us to see what you want us to see. And as we do that, we know that the Holy Spirit will transform us into the very image of Jesus. And Father, we know that's your will for us. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Have a great week.